Matthew's Gospel 28. In the first service, continuing from last week, we began to look at what believers don't say. Now we want to look at what believers should say, what they don't say, and what they should say. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I told you that that word, teaching all nations, means to make disciples. Means to train people to become. Same word in Matthew's Gospel 13:51. I correct myself from the first service. 13:51 and 52. Became a disciple, taught, described who is instructed, 52 precisely, then Matthew 27 and verse 57, and Acts 14:21. Say, making disciples, teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always. Now, I want to just review a few things I said in the first service. That discipleship involves the use of words. That is, we are trained in Christ also in how we talk. You can't talk about spiritual growth and then your words are not involved. Hallelujah. For example, we looked at 1 Corinthians 13:11, where Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. Spiritual growth is evidence in how you speak. I'm not saying you're preaching. You can be preaching. You can be preaching to others, but you're not putting the same truth on your mouth. I'm saying how you speak. One of the ways we know whether you are growing is how you speak. You know, spiritual growth is an evident thing. Don't say, my spiritual growth is between me and God. No, spiritual growth is not for God. It's actually for people around you. That's why in Acts 6, when they were looking for those who would take care of food and assist the apostles, I told you the deacon is the associate pastor, right? I taught you that, right? The deacon is the associate pastor. He's the one that assists the pastors. That's why deacons also must be able to teach the word. I go take our series on Paul's ministry gifts where I explain that in detail. And so when they were going to pick those guys, he said, look for among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. That means something you can see. In other words, from their conduct and the way they spoke, it's evident that they are folks who are growing. They're growing. They're growing ahead of others, as the case may be. So you are trained on how to talk. When I grew up, Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I see some childish believers, nepios. Yeah, you know, nobody saw me in church last week. Nobody called me. Nobody. Who is nobody? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Is that a church? Is that a church? So I said, on my birthday, nobody called my name. The guy once told me, he says, that was years back. He said, you didn't write any greeting for me on my birthday. I said, happy birthday. I said, did you instruct me from the word to write a birthday greeting for you? Happy birthday. He said, I'm just looking at it, you know. I said, you're not looking at anything. I'm not greeting you. Become offended. You know, adults don't talk like that. No. I'm not saying it is compulsory for a Christian, but I'm just thinking in a church. If we call ourselves a church, who are you? If we call ourselves a church, we must represent Christ. Christ. So Christ is looking for attention. Happy birthday, Christ. You are not a serious person. Oh, you are just asking me, have I prayed? How about souls? What about me? You know, those are logical things. But they are childish. Nepios. Grow up. I spoke like a child. Now I put away childish things. So when you grow, you are also taught how to talk. God's word must have influence on your speech. Influence on your speech. They asked me, when I was in university, they asked me a question about a fellow who was going to be the president of the fellowship. He said, the guy, you know, he's a very good guy and all that, but he doesn't know how to talk. And sometimes on the pulpit, he can be joking and making, and you are considering him. What is nice about that? So I'm just looking at, you know, he serves the Lord. He gives. That's the issue. He gives. He gives you money. If you like, give us jet in this church. We thank you. That's all. We think from, because you now give us a jet, we will now speed up your process. With a jet speed. You are in the wrong place. Can't you say our name is very dry? Saints community. You know, don't expect those kind of things here. Praise the Lord. Don't say, oh, okay, I won't give. Take your money. Others will give. Hallelujah. Don't be so. So you speak well. So when you grow up, there's a way you talk. There are some things you don't say again. You don't say those things again because you are growing up. So speaking is one of the proofs of either spiritual growth or immaturity. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. The Hebrew says, in the way of the mouth. So one of the ways you train up kids in the Hebrew culture, which is spiritual in nature, is how to talk. How to talk, to say the right things. Train up a child the way he should go. So the first service, we say, what you don't say as believers. As a believer, you don't speak fear. Can there be fear? Yes, but you don't speak fear. Fear is a sin. You don't know fear is a sin. What is a sin? A sin is doing what is contrary to the word of God. It's the word amatai, to go away from God's will. Fear is not of God. John says fear, there's torment in fear. Fear has torment. 1 John 4:17. And 18, fear has torment. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Several times, Jesus will say, fear not little flock, for example, Luke 12:15, fear not little flock. Why did you fear? Mark 4:38, why did you fear? Why were you afraid? So fear is a sin. Also, you don't speak your worries, your anxieties. Someone told me, he said, well, sir, I'm just thinking looking at my age and then my this one, and then started to narrate. I went to minister to someone years back in the Ikorodu, and then the guy was showing me all the medical reports. He said, you see, my heart used to be here, it has moved here. He was showing the pastor. He said, now it has moved here. What they told me is that with a few weeks now to degrade, you know what it means? Okay, I wish I saw the... He was telling me, I wish I saw the screen. I'll show you how the heart... I was looking at him. Is this to empower the glory of God in my life? I don't understand. I wasn't going for a medical class, but he knew so much about the disease. He was lecturing me. We're three. Lecturer said, you see, this one has moved. They said my blood is now this one. And also, the last time I went for this, in fact, it had gotten worse. You see, the color of my... And it was... So at the end of the day, I just decided to do what believers do. It is well. Because, which part does he want me to pray about? The screen? Or the report? Do you understand? You don't speak your doubts. You don't speak your worries. See, worry is like a temptation. It's like a, you know, Pastor Kenneth Hagin, W. Hagin now, the son of Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin is his father. He's 80 years old this year. So that brother thing is just, I don't understand why we say it, but it's the same thing. So he said, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on it. Worry will come, doubt will come, but you can stop it in its tracks. Doubt and worry will die unborn until you say it. They only require that you cooperate with what is being said. See, it doesn't matter how many people walk in fear. Sometimes we gauge things by the number of people. Look at the children of Israel. Historically, there were about 3 million of them. No, 3 million is a lot. It's a lot, too. 3 million is a lot. 3 million human beings. And when you see the Jews, and all the things they do, you think they are Nigerians. 3 million. Only 2 of them believe God's word. You know, if you are among 2 million people and you were confessing God, you look like you are stupid. Just 2. Which shows that the number doesn't matter. Number doesn't matter. 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, just 2 spoke the word. Just 2. 2 of them. 2. You know, if 2 get missing in 2 million, you may not notice. You should not even notice. Yet, just 2 have that spirit of faith to believe what God said. When they went with the spies, only Caleb said, no, we are able to go. He was in the minority. So the fact that people are saying something in the world, or in Nigeria, or in Lagos, or in your community, does not give you a permission to disregard God's word. I told you in the first service, the first thing about speaking the word is that it honors God. That you said, imagine if assuming you don't know math, you are very poor in math, very poor. When they say 4 times 4, you say 44. Then you told your son, 4 times 4. 4 multiplied by 4 is 44. Then he goes out. And all his friends, they say, he's 16. He said, no, he's 44. And he's smiling. He said, he's 44. Do you know he has honored you? He might be wrong. But the fact that he has absolute faith in you. So speaking God's word, first and foremost, honors God. That you put his word on your lips and you said it. That's what God said. It honors God. We also said it gives direction to the power of God. So we said we don't speak fear. We don't speak our doubt. I'm only being realistic. Reality is the word. I said the truth is what God said. Say the truth is what God said. Say the truth is what God said. Say last, the truth is what God said. So it's what God said that is the truth. The truth is what God. You don't speak fear. We also say you don't speak dishonor. You don't speak dishonor. We looked at Mark 6, verse 5 to 6. How they said about Jesus, is this not the carpenter's son? He says, and I said to us, your words are important. Even words you say at unguarded moments. Don't say, when you see God's man over your life, because there are some people, listen carefully now, you see, the things of the Spirit work with relationships. I'll tell you what I mean. Jesus was sent to Israel. So it mattered a lot what they said. That's why when Paul is writing about honor, he says honor to those who are over you in the Lord. He doesn't say all ministers of the gospel. Even though you should respect all ministers of the gospel, but there's a specific instruction on those who are over you. Right of Hebrews says that there are those who are over you in the Lord. It says who give account of your life. You know, those are specific people. You don't use nicknames. You don't refer to them casually. Even when some of us get carried away. You are with your boss at work. You are with your friends. And you are ashamed to show that you are honoring a pastor, a minister. It's a man of God. No. Don't say that. It's your pastor. She's your pastor. Use the right words. Because your words either honor God's word or otherwise. Even if the man of God is your husband or your wife, you should have enough sense to know when to switch from darling, darling to grace, grace, or ministry, ministry. Know when to switch. Be smart. One of the things my friend taught me when I was a younger Christian, he said there's an intelligence to the things of the Spirit. He said we have to be smart. I learned that early. Be smart. Know when to switch. Be very smart. You must be what people call balanced. You must be able to manage relationships very well. And you are very smart. Not this one. Praise the Lord. Use your words well. You don't use words of fear. Don't use words of doubt, words of anxiety, words of dishonor. Also, do not speak corrupt communication. Ephesians 4:29. Don't say things that will destroy others. Do not say that. That will destroy others. Don't say things that will diminish others. There's someone who put something on his timeline on Facebook about a preacher, about something he heard on the media. I said, you are very silly. He said, but sir, he's already in the news. I said, are you a staff of the news? He said, no. I said, if the world is doing that, what should the believer do? He didn't even know. You are not of this world. Say, I'm not of this world. So you should be smart, be intelligent. Use your words rightly. Don't use your words for fear. Fear will come, but fear, doubt, and anxiety will die unborn if they are not spoken. That doesn't mean you should be silent. As it comes, like I said last week, you release words of faith. I showed you earlier, as soon as Jesus heard the report of those guys who came from Jairus' house, immediately said to him, be not afraid, only believe. So I said, you don't allow thoughts of fear to settle on your heart as soon as it comes. You see, you must be a speaking believer. Learn to speak a lot. As soon as the thought comes to your heart, you speak God's word immediately. Speak God's word immediately. No, I'm what he says I am. I do what he says I can do. I'm not confused. I walk in God's purpose and plans. I told you as we were first finishing the first service. I said, example I gave. You're driving somewhere. And then you missed the way. You were supposed to go under a bridge. You went over it. And sometimes when you look at Lagos Network, if you go back, you may have to go very far to turn. Then you get very touchy. Oh, I've been there, man. Oh, you may even get angry at everybody, including angels. You know, why do you say, wow, what a mistake? Well, glory to God, I don't walk in confusion. Things will work well for this, praise God. Hallelujah, God's power is still working. You know, you can get very, very smart. Because Satan can use that error to get you to walk in the flesh. And then everything you said earlier in the morning, thanking God for a day of love, a day of light and life, you begin to say contrary things because it appears like something contrary happened. How do you know that when you went over that bridge, it was a mistake? How do you know? You've spoken in the morning that you don't walk in confusion. How do you know you were not to avoid an accident? How do you know you didn't avoid an incident? How do you know you got late to that place so that something that would have been done against you was not done anymore? You can't know. Many things you don't know. But when you get some of us talk. If all your words in a day are more than the whole Bible put together. There's some brother like that. They had spoke, they had Jesus, they talk. I was looking at them. sometimes in '90s. I said, amen, amen. Let's share God's word. Where are you? Chief talker, Mercurius. He said, ah, now? I said, yes. Now, sir. I said, now. Share what God has been teaching you from the word. That's how he began to open all the pages of the Bible. Sir, now. Not ready for the word, but ready for gist. Even parrots will salute you. Hallelujah. We know what not to say. We don't speak fair. Say, I don't speak fair. I don't speak doubt. Amen. I told you in the morning, early in the morning, I said, even if there's a lack, state the facts, but state the greater facts of God's word. Paul says, we even despaired of life. That was a sentence passed on us of death. But we trust in the living God who raises the dead. For he doth deliver us. He delivers and he will yet deliver us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I put the word of God first. In Luke 1:37. Look at the instance of Mary. You know, you'll have thought that as the angel appeared to Mary, Mary! You are pregnant. Eh? Yes, you are pregnant. In 9 months from now, whether you like it or not, the baby will come out. If it's through your mouth. Anyhow, no. She wasn't pregnant until she spoke the word. The angel said, this is God's promise to you. I said, no word of God. So with God, nothing. Luke's Gospel 1. Nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. That's what the King James says. But the original Greek says, no word of God is void of power. Or like A.W. Kenyon would say, no word of God needs ability to perform. It has in itself an inherent ability to do what it says. Be it unto me according to your word. I love that song by Dunmore. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. You know, be it unto me. As soon as she said that, the Spirit of God over. See, because the angel said the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. As she heard that, she said, no word of God is void of ability to do it. Praise the Lord. So there are things we don't say. Say, ah! Ah! How is that possible? She asked the right question. When she asked the right question, it was not a rhetoric, it was a question, a sincere question. And the angel said, the Spirit of God will come upon you. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. See, I say yes to the word. Look at Book of Daniel. Book of Daniel is after 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. The case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember one brother like that? We tried to get in people with the Holy Ghost in 1995. They said, Tobias Tambala. Boss. You sound like an almanac. Daniel chapter 3. This was after King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that everybody should worship him and his idols. And then in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage, Daniel 3 and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they didn't bow. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, he says. Now, you see, the challenge with this place, and it's because many translations have decided to put their own interpretation. I've told you, translations are what? Interpretations. Let me show you something. Look at the two texts of scripture. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Who has the NIV here? The NIV. New International Version. Who has the NIV? You have the NIV. Alright. Stand up. Let's read the Bible together. Don't worry. You're handsome. People will like you. Stand up. Bless you. Get up. Now, you know the story. The story was in verse 54 that when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did?" Look at 55. "And he turned and rebuked them and said, Know ye not what the manner of speech you are of?" 56. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." What do you have in your 55? Or read your 54. I wish I had a microphone. Okay, let me, give me sound here. Yeah. Let me do usher for you. Read your 54. Read your 54.
Okay. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from the heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus told them,
They didn't add Elijah.
He has a song that says some manuscripts.
I'm coming to that. There's a manuscript like that. I'm saying it because I criticized those who I've met those who did that translation. And I criticized this. Go to 55.
"But Jesus turned and rebuked them. And they went to another village."
Can you see the skipped? "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save." That's not added. But it's in the manuscript. Now go to Matthew 18. Read verse 11. "I have here, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." What do you have in 11?
18 verse 11.
Huh?
Matthew 18 verse
11. Yeah, 18, 11.
There is no 11.
There's no 11. Yeah. Thank you. I know because I had an encounter with two or three of those who were involved in that translation. And so what they simply did was, a translation is an interpretation. I've told you that before. So many translators are actually interpreters. Can you say why I like King James? I told you it's the closest to much of the new, of the very original transcript. So in Daniel 3, now they'll put it in the footnotes. But how many guys will go and check it? Did you get that? Daniel 3. So much of what you will see in some translations are interpretations. So look at verse 15. "Now if you be ready at that time," Daniel 3, "you hear the sound of the cornet, flute." Okay, before I go further, do you know the importance of what is kept in that translation? It's very critical. And they skip it. And they put it in footnotes. In center references. A very vital thing Jesus said. Praise the Lord. I see this now. Daniel 3. "Now if you be ready at that time, you hear the sound of a cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made." Well, but if you worship not, pay attention. "If you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" So, let's look at the issues. The issues is, you must worship my idol. Okay? When you hear the sound. Two, if you don't worship my idol, I will cast you into the fiery furnace. And I dare your God to deliver you. Those are the issues, right? So, verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." We are not careful. That is, we're not even trying to meditate on what you are saying. I'm not thinking twice. I'm not trying to pray over what you're saying. And then they said, you know, it's interesting that the three of them said the same thing. Meshach didn't say, "Shadrach, hold on. Abednego says, "That's for Shadrach. Let me say my own. It's good to have good friends. Praise God." And you say the same things. Glory to God. Watch this now. If it be so, what? Very logical. If it be so, what? If it be so that you cast us into the fiery furnace, correct? It can't be said, it can't be, if it be so, that we don't bow. No. They have already answered that we are not careful to answer you. That means they have already said we are not going to bow. So, if it be so that you cast us into the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver, emphasis, us out of your hand, O King. Have they answered him? So, what was this answer for? If you cast us into the fire, God will deliver us. Right? Oh, good. So, verse 18. But if not, now, if not what? If you don't, some have said, if God doesn't deliver us, that's ridiculous. That's not what they are saying. If you don't cast us into the fire, what's this? Be it known unto you, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image. That is, if you don't carry out your threats, we will still not serve your God. Some say, no. What he's saying is that if it be so, our God will deliver us. If our God does not deliver us, we will not bow. That doesn't make any sense. You're already in the fire. If you don't carry out your threat still, we will still not bow to you. Praise the Lord. They were not making a double confession. What they were saying was an undeniable, unqualified committer to God's power. Hallelujah. How can they say that God is able to deliver us if he doesn't deliver us? What kind of ridiculous statement is that? The implication of thinking that statement is faith is wide. It means God cannot be trusted. He can do what he likes. One of these guys told me, he said, you know, God is sovereign. He can decide what he likes. And I said, let me ask you a question. And the guy preaches eternal security of salvation. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Can God decide to cast you to hell? He said, no. I said, why? He said, because the Bible said, no, quote Bible again. You said, God can just wake up if he has been sleeping. I said, let me prove my value. He said, no. But what I'm saying that, can't God be God? No. He's God when he keeps his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, don't assume that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying, if God doesn't deliver us, no problem. No. They were saying, if you don't cast us into the fire, who's still not bound to your God? Praise the Lord. Let me say that's clear to you. Come on. Praise the Lord. So, we must have, and we must speak words that glorify God. They glorify his power, they glorify his might, they glorify his wealth, his love, and his riches. So as you grow, what are the things that should be on your lips? The gospel. The gospel should frame your words. The gospel. The gospel should frame how you speak. The gospel should frame how you talk. Glory to God. And it's not good enough to speak well in the service. I'm the Father's house. I'm in the child of God. Yes, I am. Woo! Oh, that song. Let me remember one. God in man who died for man. It's just the music. And you go, oh, yes. And we give praise to God, the man. Hallelujah. A new creation. Hallelujah. He has given a woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. A single headache. Yeah! Hallelujah! I was only joking. Oh. Help me. When you raise your voice singing in church, I'm not the one that needs your song. Glory to God. It's just a rhythm. Put the word on your lips. Hallelujah. Let the gospel frame how you talk. Praise God. Even if you are in the professional arena, stick to the gospel. Are you there? My mom told me his testimony. She worked in the trauma theater when she was a nurse. She said they agreed amongst themselves that there would be no case of death in that theater. I'm not sure how many years. Not one single incident. All of them, they just agreed. No things can happen. Praise God. They just agreed that there will be not a single case. Not one. Not one. They just agreed in faith. And they kept, she kept saying it. She'll get them. When she says something, I will doubt. My in work, she said it. Praise God. Let the gospel frame your words. Let it frame your words. So as you speak, E.W. Kenyon taught this. He said, your words must speak about what God did in Christ in redemption. What did he do in redemption? Hallelujah. See, if many of us in Saints Community Church, if we spoke the way we preach, we'll walk more in the fullness of God. If you spoke normally the way you preach, you know when you are doing exegesis and you're explaining, doesn't know, that's not God. And you explain, then you leave the exegetical center, then you pick a phone, a call. I'm finished. No, it is finished. Tell Lester Ty. Fulfilled. You got to put the same truth. What did God do in redemption? Let it be in your words. Let it be in your words. Glory to God. Let it be in your words. What did he do in redemption? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number two, what God has done in us. What has he done in us? What has he done in us? All your confessions, all your words must be framed around the gospel of Christ. Must be framed. They must be framed around the gospel of Christ. Watch this. Number three. What is he doing through us now? Glory to God. God is being glorified through me. It's finding expression in my life. The will of God in the earth is finding expression in my everyday living. You know, you can say that often. The will of God is finding expression in my life. I'm a yielded vessel unto God. His powers and plans are walking through me. I am God's voice in the nations of the earth. I'm his herald amongst men. I express the gifts of the Spirit. God expresses himself amongst men through me. You know, that's what God is doing. You say that often. You say that often. Put the gospel. Frame your words around the gospel. Say it well. Say it loud and clear. We'll get to that shortly. Glory to God. Also, let your words be framed around what God will do. They tell you, oh, that believer passed to glory or died. You say, wow. You first of all commiserate. We saw, oh, wow. Bible said, mourn with them that mourn. Wow. I feel for you. God comforts your heart. You say all that, but retain your confession and say, he didn't die. Glory to God. That fellow didn't die. Is alive in Christ, and we're going to see you again. You know, you're just reframing your words, saying the right thing. For the men who die in Christ are said to sleep. It's not just a doctrine. That's the way we see it. Hallelujah. That his physical body will be raised. You say the right things. Let your words be framed with the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, Paul says, with the heart man believes on the righteousness, but with the mouth, confession, the word homologia, confession is made unto salvation. And that word confession means your conviction. Your conviction expressed in words. Homologio is not false words, it's false a conviction, a persuasion. And what is our persuasion? Our persuasion is the gospel. Our persuasion is the gospel. Say, my persuasion is the gospel. That's why in verse 14, in fact from verse 13, in the same Romans, Paul says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? It's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, and they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah verse 16 said, the Lord who have believed thy report. So then faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that confession is the gospel. When you verbalize the realities of the gospel, how God raised Christ from the dead, how righteousness is ours today, it's become our profession. So, the gospel, what do we say? We say what glorifies God all the time. What has he done in redemption? What has he done in redemption? What has he done in us? What is he doing through us? And what will he yet do for us? You say it all the time. That's what we say. Glory to God. God gave us what to say. Say, God gave me what to say. So, God's word is what we say. God's word is not just for our learning, so that we can preach unto others. No, God's word is also for our vocabulary. We say what God says. When we do that, we glorify his name. How do we say it? How? Hallelujah. How do we say it? You know, Abraham was what sort of man? Genesis chapter 15 says, Abraham believed in the Lord. Verse 16. It's counted unto him for righteousness. And that word believed in the Lord was used for the first time in that verse. It means an unqualified committal. He didn't have any sensory evidence. In other words, he trusted his entire life to God's word and power. So when the believer today takes God's word, he must have an unreserved, unqualified, unequivocal affirmation of God's word. He mustn't put but or is. No. God's word has no buts or ifs. So my speaking it must be in absolute terms. If it's God's word. I told you in the morning. God's word is not a suggestion. It's not a mere impression. God's word is God's truth. I must learn to say it the way God wants me to. How do we speak God's word? How? There's a way we speak God's word that honors God. I am not just quoting scriptures. No. That honors God. Look at Matthew, Acts 9. We're going to see a couple of scriptures. Acts 9. Paul had just received the gospel by Ananias' experience and all of that, the Damascus experience. Look at Acts 9. In verse 20 says, straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. In verse 27. And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly. Look at that statement. He announces God's counsel boldly. How he had preached how? Boldly. Look at verse 29. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I say boldly. Look at chapter 14 verse 3. Long time talking about Paul again. Therefore I brought there, they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand. They spoke boldly, boldly, God's word. Acts 18:26. This is Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Acts 19 verse 8. Paul now. He went in the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. So I say boldly. Why do they use these terms? Because there was an opposition. There were those who had contrary facts. So they spoke boldly. In Acts chapter 4, the chief priests and the elders, they identified something very remarkable in the lives and the ministries of Peter and others. They said in chapter 4 and verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Some say boldness. Look at Acts 4:31. When they prayed. They prayed, and scripture says they spoke the word of God with boldness. So, this is an adjective in itself. It describes an attitude. In Ephesians, quickly, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul says, pray. Pray. Ephesians 6:19. Says, so you pray for us. And also the given that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador and bond, and then I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Boldly. 2 Corinthians 7:4. He made reference to that as well. So, boldness is the way we speak God's word. The way we ought to, pardon me, speak God's word. Boldly. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12, the Bible says, Paul writing, says we have boldness, access, Ephesians 3 and 12. We have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Say, I have boldness. I have access. In Philippians 1:20, Paul says, according to my earnest expression and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. 1 Timothy 3:13 speaks about the deacons who have boldness in the faith. In 1 John 4:17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In Hebrews 10:19. The writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I have boldness. Now that word boldness is a Greek word, parhesia. Or parhesioma. I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A. P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A. Or P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A-Z-O-M-A-I. It means to be frank. To speak without apologies. It's not just courage. It means to speak without apologies. is used oftentimes for opposition to what you are saying. Speaking without apologies. Like I said earlier, without both ands or ifs. Boldly. So the way you preach the gospel to others who hear the gospel is the way you speak the word. And it's the word parousia is in your demeanor, it's in your appearance. In other words, it's often called a daring confession. Like say, I dare the devil. I dare condemnation. I dare sickness and disease. I dare you. That's parousia. To speak in a daring manner. That I dare you. This is how the word of God ought to be said. Not with apologies. We saw an example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. For our God, if so be, our God whom we serve, is able to deliver, and he will yet deliver us from your hand, O king. That is parousia. Unqualified. No buts, ands, or ifs. Frank talk. You know what he said? You and someone had a frank talk. See, let me tell you. You didn't do well. That was not what you know. That's frank talk. Not, I don't want to say it. Let's talk about it later. Mm-mm. Frank talk. So he says, when we speak God's word, we speak frankly. We say, this is the truth of God's word. This is the reality of God's word. Boldness. How do we speak? We speak boldly. Christ has given us boldness. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, the writer of Hebrews says, for he has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So that, verse 6, you may boldly say. The word there is the word tahareo. T-H-A-R-R-E-O. From another word, fasio, which is to be daring. Same thing. You are daring. That you may dare to say. Say, I dare to speak God's word. Raise your voice. Say, I dare to speak God's word. Hallelujah. So when you speak, you say, I dare say. No, that means in spite of all this, I dare say. At least I dare this, and I'm saying this in the face of apparent contradictions. I dare say. He has said, so I can dare to say. He has said, so that I can boldly say. He has said, so that I can say without both hands or ifs. So we don't speak God's word like a passing comment. We don't speak God's word like a joke. No, it's not a gist. I dare say. Hallelujah. Remember I told you. If there can be 2 million plus and only 2 dare to speak God's word, you can dare to speak God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I dare say. I told you in the morning. Speaking God's word is not bragging on yourself. Remember that? Not bragging on your wealth. No. It's bragging on God. Glory to God. So say, you got a big mouth. Say, I've got a big God to back it up. Hallelujah. You must be daring in the way you speak God's word. That's what is usually called faith-filled words. Words framed by God's word. So, in putting God's word on our lips, we must dare to say what God says. I mentioned a few things in the first service. I said, sometimes it's a prophecy. A prophecy given to you. You know how to judge prophecies already, so you know what a prophecy is. that speaks about your life and ministry. There are things I've said for years. And why I say them, I found it in the Word of God, no doubt, but it's because it was an utterance. And I hold on to it so strong. And I say it. Glory to God. I say it. I say it boldly. Because if you get a prophecy and you don't do what Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Paul have gone before you, that with them you what? Wage a good warfare." 1 Timothy 1:18. Just, glory, glory, woo, hallelujah. Oh, we had a great Holy Ghost meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Monday morning is words of African movie magic that is on your lips. Glory to God. Went for a meeting in 1994. Association of Event Ministries. A man by the name of Ross Thatcher was preaching. And as he was preaching, I wasn't supposed to be in that conference because I wasn't part of the team. But I got myself in one way or the other. And so, the man was preaching. He said, "Young man, come." I ran forward. I already had a device to record his prophecy. I wasn't recording the teaching. It was a prophecy. So as I got there, he began to speak. He said, "Can you hear me?" I said, "I'm recording it, sir." And I ensured every day I would repeat everything he said. Bold. 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 So it's not just quoting scriptures. Prophecies. God spoke to you, for example, and he gave you a ministry. You boldly say, "I preach the gospel with clarity. Hearts of men are receptive to it. In the name of Jesus, the paths are created." You say it. You say it. You dare to say it. Glory to God. You dare to say it. Having it on your heart isn't faith. So you put it on your lips. Dare to say it. When things are going down and tough, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your life, you dare to say it. Because our confession of the word is in spite of the circumstance. It's to lord it over the circumstance. You dare to say it. See, I dare to speak God's word. So when you are preaching the gospel, you dare to say what you will say. Say it in spite of opposition. Say it. I dare say. Christ died for your sins. I dare say he rose for your justification. I dare say eternal life is available for you right now. I dare say the day you receive eternal life, become God's son. I dare say that Christ is the only one that truly loves you. You guys, do you know me? Do you know where I'm from? I dare say Christ is the only one that loves you. That's daring. Hallelujah. Same way you speak God's word. In a daring fashion. Now, I remember an old teaching. I don't know whether some of you have heard it before. I taught it in the 90s. I used to call it then 5 Basic Confessions of Believers. Have you heard it before? Who has heard that before? Nobody. Oh, it's been a while then. 5 Basic Confessions of Believers. Now, it's almost 10 now. Hallelujah. Or more than that. Now, it's an exhaustive list, no doubt. But there are things you must always say as a believer. Not just in the service. You're driving home. You're, thank God for speaking in tongues. Right? Oh, you speak. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you are. But he writes back in tongues. Hallelujah. Paul never taught anybody in tongues. So don't be speaking in tongues so much that you're not speaking God's word. Put the word on your lips. Some of us outside tongues, what we say is rubbish. So we use tongues to cover up our nonsense talking. Yeah! What is the tongues for? I'm dead. No. There's nothing wrong in saying I'm dead. Just say I'm dead to sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm finished with the flesh. I'm alive in the spirit. Don't say, I'm finished. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So as you speak in tongues, speak God's word. Amen? Speak God's word. Dare to say God's word. Dare to say God's word. Talking in your office. Everybody talking. This lady also. Hey. Only God knows who is next. I remember when every dear brother. Now I can mention his name. Who have a problem. We're classmates. So there were some court wars in school. Somebody died. Then he said, can you imagine? Who knows who is next now? I said, you are next. Tell the president, Pastor Shakes. I said, you asked a question. Why did you have to say, what kind of question is that? Let us commiserate with you. Why do who knows who is next? So say, God delivers us from evil. That's what you should be saying. God's power is all over me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you should be saying. Dare to say it. And say, we don't know the way things are even going now. You think I'm making sense? No. Receive sense. Bible sense. Speak God's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You listening to this? So I call them five basic confessions, but I don't know how many there are now. Number one, I always teach people to always say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I must tell you the truth. When I came in contact with the reality of redemption, the new creation, between 1994 and 1995 January, when I read the book of E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth E. Hagin, given to me by a friend of mine, used to call him Bishop, Larry Amoso is the name. And I read, I was in tears. I was already preaching, but I was worse than a DJ. Today I said, yes, you are, know who you are in Christ. And I said, pursue Christ. Pursue him. Let him mold you, break you, make you. So everything was confused. When I read those materials, my friend was a very, very hard guy. We used to call him the chief hacker of our team there. I had taught one teaching. He was there, he sat down. I said, six principles, so, seven ways, seven keys. When I was done, he said, man of God, no doctrine. I said, He said, no word there. He said, you are just talking like a lecturer. I said, yeah. So I take this book and study it, man. I was father and his family. I read it. I got the other one from him. The third one, the fourth one, two kinds of faith, two kinds of righteousness. I read that two kinds of righteousness. I wanted to start eating the pages. So I used to say it every day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It had to dawn on me because of where I was coming from. You know, when you know where you are coming from, you have to dare to say it. So I teach you to say, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might make the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 4:24. So we put on a new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Say, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. You don't say those things in a whisper. No. Therefore, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are you begging? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. See, I got so enthralled by that truth. There's a brother called Aziz. Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz used to pray to die to self. If I one day they say, oh Lord, let me die, die. I want to die, die. When one day brothers would say, that's how he slept up dying. When I got a hold of this truth, I went to him. I said, Brother Aziz, you are righteous. He said, I heard him like this. He said, you are righteous. He said, No! No! Those, you listen to all those religious modernizers. Hey, be careful. I said, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God. Don't do that though. The thing was burning in my soul. Ha! And I was daring to say, now he's saying it. After many years. I am the righteousness of God. Those are things. Some say righteousness of God. No, say in Christ. Say it well. You wake up at night, just say it. I am the righteousness of God. It became so vital that even when I have someone abuse me, look at God. I just say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it's something you dare to say. It mustn't be found wanting in your words. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the handiwork of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, I am the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. All the good works with God beforehand on the day that I walk in them. Now I walk in them. I am God's workmanship. Woo! Glory to God. You don't say, I am the workmanship of God in Christ. There was one service I preached in one meeting in Adoekiti years back. I taught them, it was a faith seminar. I taught them the truth about who they were in Christ. So I said, let's say this together. I said, I'm rising up, going Christ. So the pastor came up and then said, all these things we have heard today, brethren, let God give us the grace to raise, begin to pray. If you see how they raise their voice. Oh Lord, give us the grace. Give us the grace. Oh Lord, to become new creations in Christ. Give us the grace. I told them to say who they were. Who they were not. They raised their voice like they're in a stadium. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I dare to say. Before Satan. Condemnation. Sin consciousness. Demons. And the forces of darkness. Before man. And before angels. I am the righteousness of God. You're bold to say. You dare to say. Don't just sing it. I told you, singing can be deceptive. Say it. I am the righteousness of God. Glory to God. I taught my children that young. I am the righteousness of God. Say that boldly. Glory to God. If I do follow up with that, the first thing you will learn. That's my first follow up. No, you are righteous now. You know, you're justified. So say, I am the righteousness of God.
I am.
Say it loud, say it loud. Say it loud. You can even hold my collar. I am the righteousness of God. I dare say. Hallelujah. Number two, great are he that is in me. Woo! Where else did you say that outside church? Where else did you say that driving? Well, as you said that when the bad day came upon your soul, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in me. He speaks through my lips, sees through my eyes, he acts through my deeds, he puts me over. Woo! Greater is he. You know,
greater is he that is in me than he that is in the
world. I don't beg you to say it. Greater is he that is in me. Glory to God. John 14:16. I pray the Father, he will give you another comforter in my power with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. That's why Paul, you can imagine Paul writing in the, he, you know, when he's right, when Paul was writing, and he got to chapter 3. He used a middle tone in writing. That's some hermeneutic. A middle tone. When he mentioned, take it how you build upon. When he got to 16, in writing, he now raised the tone. Know ye not! Hallelujah. That you are the temple of God. So every time he says, know ye not! He raised the tone. It's not a middle voice. Hallelujah. It's like a shouting verse. Know ye not that your body, that means he went to, if he was preaching it, he would be shouting it. That is, if he was to be speaking it, he would say,
no, you're not.
He'll have held you like this. Let me hold you like Brother Aziz. No, you're not. Glory to God. That you are the temple of God. The shouting verse. You said daringly, I dare say. I dare say. You walk out of the room where the doctor just prescribed drugs for you, and then you say, you know, this is your DNA. You say, no, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost dwells in here. The gifts of healing dwell in here. The power of God dwells in here. I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. Lord, I dare say. I dare say. Thank you, Lord. You say that. Don't forget, the first thing you're doing is you're glorifying God. Number three, I am a new creation in Christ. Woo! How about that? It was so strong on my heart when I began to preach. Every time I'm talking, I tell people I was never in primary school. So I began living. I came to this earth in secondary school. I was like, what's he talking about? I was saying it boldly. So even those who didn't understand were preaching to them, I was there in primary school. Even though, what I dare to say, that the old man has been crucified with Christ. Glory to God. I put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I dare say I'm a new creation in Christ. I dare say all things passed away. All things are new. I am God's workmanship created in Christ. See, it's not just for doctrine, it's also for speaking. I dare to say. Parousia. I frankly say. Hallelujah. I am a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I dare to say the Lord is my shepherd. Woo! Glory. He's a good shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep. John 10 said, I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I lay down my life for the sheep. They find pasture. Glory to God, I find pasture in Christ. I find eternal life in Christ. John 10:28-29. Oh, glory to God. He said, no man will pluck them out of my hands. No one can take them out of my Father's hands. I'll give them eternal life and they can perish. I say that often, I cannot perish. I cannot perish. The Lord is my shepherd. I cannot perish. Woo! I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. Don't just say it in this service. Say it at the car park. Say it at the bus station. Say it on Monday morning. Say it on Tuesday afternoon. Say it when things go bad. Say it when things go wrong. Say it when sadness comes to you. I cannot perish! I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. The first audience of your preaching should be your heart. If you shout like this in your congregation, and you don't shout like this to yourself, you are a hypocrite. Say it to yourself. When that thought, fearful thought comes to your heart, say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no strange thought in my mind now about the future. He gives me, and I will never perish. Glory to God. Are you still there? God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. God shall supply all my needs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philippians 4:19. God shall supply all my needs. According to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. You mentioned the need. God shall supply all my needs. Glory to God. According to his riches in glory by Jesus. You say boldly. Glory to God. Say boldly, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus. God takes care of me. God takes care of me. He takes care of me. Woo! Glory to God. I dare to say, I dare to utter it. In the face of lack, apparent failure, apparent defeat, I dare say. Glory. What else do we say? I dare say I have no fear. I dare say I have no fear. I'm not speaking experientially alone. I'm speaking as a fact. For God hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, I've got no fear. Fear is a foreigner. Fear is a stranger. Fear is a foreigner. Fear is a stranger. Faith is in my heart. Expectations are in my heart. The glory of God is in my heart. There is no fear here. There is no fear here. You know, you wake up at 9, 12 midnight, where you're meant to worry. You get 2 a.m., you get up, where you're worried. I said, there is no fear here. God's power is working on my behalf. Glory, 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 glory. I dare say. You say it so loud that your wife will hear you. Say it so loud your kids will hear you. Say it so loud that the devil will hear it in 2 languages. Say loud and clear. God no fear here. Glory, 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 glory. I have no fear. You know, I shall not fear is a confession. But I have no fear. The Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You boldly say it. Don't say it apologetically. Don't say it, hey, don't let me say it too. If I go and say it like this. Brother Hagin shared the story of how a lady will always come to the platform to pray. Call it the altar. And she will be praying. And he saw her every service. And then he noticed she was saying, devil, oh Lord, the devil has done this, the devil has done that. So he said to her, can we just pray? She said, yeah. So he held her hands. And he said, in the name of Jesus, Satan! She said, don't let him hear you. So some guys are really scared. That if I say, Satan can be angry. No, I actually want him to be angry. It's not for him not to be angry. It's actually for him to be angry. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, there was a day. I want to pray for a woman. Off Igbero, the Korodu. And she was barren. So I went to her house. And then, much later, she had a child. She was already pregnant. So as I was walking home, I just heard this voice over my head. I heard it loud and clear. You won't have children. I laughed loud. Everybody heard the laugh. I said, I'll tell you the number I will have. You don't speak after. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't let the thought settle. No, I can't go down. I only stay up. I can never want to be there. I stay here till I win. I want the devil to hear it. That's why I'm saying it. It's not God that needs what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It's not God that needs to hear it. Satan needs to hear it. Men need to hear it. Demons need to hear it. Hallelujah. Negative thoughts need to hear higher thoughts. Hallelujah. I dare say I have no fear. I dare say I have no fear. I dare say I have no fear. I dare say that Satan is under my feet. No, that will get many scriptures. Hallelujah. I dare say that Satan is under my feet. Jesus spoke to the 12, not born again. He says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. No demon can hurt me. I used to say it. The day jazz affects me, let me go to hell. I've been saying it for years. Say the day they call my name with jazz, and let me just go to hell. Let me be cursed forever. Me, jazz. I fear Cain more than jazz. Ooh. So I said, I said, look, I'll give you my ear. I'll give you my picture. I'll give you my voice. I'll give you my blood. There's nothing you can do. But if you bring Cain, I will run. But if you say, I'll just look at you. When you are done, I'll say my own. Me, I don't know what you're saying, but I know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Do you get it? I dare say Satan is under my feet. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. According to what was my power, which was in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, I said, there's no letter in the heavenly place. It's far above what without part and mind and dominion. And every name that is named. Not only before that has come. He has put all things under his feet. And give them all things, the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you. Hallelujah. I don't care how many Christians are not walking in that right. I will walk in it. I don't care how many churches don't understand it. I will walk in it. See, one single person is enough to walk in God's word. It's not a democracy. Hallelujah. No. It's a fact of knowing your rights. Satan is under my feet. Hallelujah. Satan is under my feet. Glory to God. See, I can tell you the last time anybody looked at me and gave me a funny prophecy. They don't even come near. Satan will warn you. He will embarrass you. He will embarrass you. I was in a meeting. And someone said, God says, you should not go, don't travel in the next 3 months. I was in Lebanon. I said, no problem. I didn't have anything to do in Lagos, though. I just took a bus to Lagos. I just got to Lagos, got to Oshodi, and I went back. Should not travel. Where? What is going on? Moshood will be on the road. Jami will be on the road. Now, the man in Christ will not be running for the road. I dare say. God can warn you. God can give you instruction, but it is never fair. No. It's never fair. Even in disobedience, God preserves people. So don't let any fearful thought is not of God. No. I have no fears. No fears. Satan is under my feet. Hallelujah. We boldly also say, I'm dead to sin and I'm free from sin. I'm dead to sin and I'm free from sin. Say that so often. Don't say, I'm struggling with this one. I'm struggling. You are just doing a Luther with sin. You are a victor over it. Start with the victory. Start with what God says. Start with what Christ has done. You are a victor. It's not the experience that made you a victor. It is the word that made you a victor. Start with the word. I'm not struggling with it. No. I put away sin. I'm dead to sin. Romans 6:18. I'm free to sin. I live in righteousness. Galatians 5:25. I'm of Christ. 24. I crucify the flesh and the affections thereof. I live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans 6:14. Sin shall have no dominion over me. Romans chapter 6 verse 2. I can hide that I'm dead to sin. Live therein any longer therein. You say that daringly. Daringly. And even if you are counseling people, and they are struggling with cigarettes, struggling with sex, struggling with different habits, struggling with thoughts and all that. Don't do therapy for anybody. Say, you know what you are going to do? In the morning, drink water. No. Just tell the person, first of all, say that I'm not struggling with it. That's the first thing you should say. People can get off habits by guidance counselor. It doesn't glorify God. What glorifies God is the word way. Hallelujah. Is the word way. That this is a victory done by Jesus. I'm free from sin. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive unto God through Jesus. Hallelujah. Say again, I am not of this world. Hallelujah. That's a bold confession. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. I am of God. You know, John said, you are of God. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. Hallelujah. I am of God. You know, you can say, I am of God. I am of the God breed. I'm of the God kind. I am born of God. So I am of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. These are my realities. These are my own truths. These are my facts. And I dare say, I dare say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I dare say, I'm a new creation in Christ. I dare say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I dare say, I have no fear. I dare say, the power of God.